Welcome to Season 5 of Ye Olde Dragon's Library, the storytelling podcast. Each episode this season will be a chapter from the second book in the Enchanted Castle Archives, The Beastly Beauty. In Season 1, our heroine, Ash, was warned multiple times to stay away from the Enchanted Castle, and if she ever saw it coming toward her, to run. Now, she finds the Enchanted Castle, or, perhaps more accurately, it finds her. Will prophecy come true? Can she escape when she finds out the truth of Cecil's warning that every castle wants a princess? Listen and find out. Chapter 16. "Thank you," she called to the housekeeping breeze carrying the shawl, "but that doesn't go with any of my clothes." The shawl folded up in midair and fell straight down, to sprawl across a low set of bookshelves a dozen or so steps away from her table. Ash looked up and saw where a large panel in the glass ceiling had opened up like a trap door. So, if the books wouldn't let any furniture or clothes in through the doors, the castle found another way to tempt and trap her. She considered how difficult it would be for the books to reach up that high and close the panel and keep others from opening. Very difficult. The image of a fountain of books, floating up high and knocking invading shoes and dresses and stockings and shirts back out through the opening, was ridiculous enough to get a chuckle from her. Ash took one last sip from the flask, closed it, and settled down to read more. Gloves floated down and landed across her wrist as she reached to dip her pen in the inkwell. Ash picked them up and put them on the stack of books on the far end of the table, rather than shaking them off, preferably across the room. Politeness would protect her, she reminded herself, with an echo of Lady Charlotte's voice in her head. She longed for the elderly lady to be right here with her. She didn't doubt the woman would thoroughly enjoy the riches of books, and the challenge of navigating the temptation traps the castle offered. A scarf landed so softly across Ash's shoulder, she didn't notice until a book jumped up from the floor to her lap, and from her lap to her shoulder, apparently trying to dislodge the scarf. Ash's fingers tangled around it, reveling in the whispery softness, the shimmering colors like a swirl of rainbows that changed as the light from far overhead danced across it. With a little regret, she folded up the scarf and put it aside with the gloves. She thought about giving that scarf to Lady Charlotte, knowing the woman would be delighted with it. The scarf was followed by a delicate chain shaped like flowers, the petals of topaz, thin enough to see through. Ash didn't know the necklace was there until it slid down off the stack of books it had landed on. A matching bracelet and earrings appeared on the table, just out of her sight, until she lifted her gaze from the book to dip the pen again to make a few more notes. Lady Beatrice would look lovely, the delicate streaks of gold and orange and yellow contrasting with her dark hair and eyes and olive complexion. Ash lingered over the jewelry, contemplating how she could persuade the castle to let her take it with her. The book she was reading snapped closed, startling her. She dropped an earring. What was she doing? Ash put the bracelet and earrings with the necklace and got up, reasoning she needed to take a break, move around, breathe deeply, stretch her legs. She ate a few bites of trail bread, but it tasted rather bland, as if it had been dampened and lost its saltiness and then allowed to dry and go stale. She dug in her satchel and took out one slice each of dried apple and apricot, and then a meat stick to cut the sweetness, then back to work. She had 2 pages of notes when she finished going through the book on the history of spirit rings. To celebrate, she dipped into her satchel again and found a handful of dried cherries. The taste exploded across her tongue, and she closed her eyes, savoring the richness. In just a few bites, she had eaten them all and dug in her satchel for more. No, all gone. Why hadn't she put more cherries in this morning? She loved cherries. Sighing, she reached for her water flask and dislodged a circlet sitting across it. This one sparkled softly, spirals of sapphire and emerald chips on the simple band of cool ebony. Wait a moment. She didn't pack cherries this morning. She didn't have cherries in her supplies. The sparkle of the jewels against the black background caught her attention, and she grinned, feeling a little guilty, a little mischievous, as she raised the circlet to put it on her head. What would it hurt to try it on? Just for a moment. She needed a break. She needed to celebrate all the work she had done that morning. Ash blinked. She knew she had been working at something, but for the life of her, she couldn't remember what it was. Certainly, her hand ached a little from clutching the pen. Frowning, she sat back and looked around the library. What had she come in here for? A luscious aroma tickled her nose. Apples and cinnamon and fresh bread. Her mouth watered. She followed her nose. The books moved aside when she approached the doors. Something squealed and chittered behind her, but the aroma was too alluring to let her pause. She stepped out into the main entryway. A hungry rumbling rose from her stomach. Ash laughed at herself as she approached the table, large enough for 6 people, set with delicate glass plates rimmed in silver, with silver utensils and a dainty lace tablecloth and matching napkins, embroidered with tiny blue and green and gold peacocks. A huge loaf of fresh, steaming bread and a pot of butter sat next to the place setting at the end of the table, where a chair lined with blue and green peacock-patterned cushions waited for her to sit down. Thumping approached from behind her, and more squeals. Ash reached for the arm of the chair to sit down. Her gaze landed on a bowl of stewed cherries. She did love cherries, but something struck her as odd. What had she been thinking before? About cherries. Oh, that was right. She had found cherries in her satchel, but she knew she didn't have any in her supplies. How had the cherries gotten in there? Fang chattered and squeaked, leaping onto the table in front of her, sending the plate and utensils and napkins skidding aside. His eyes were red and huge with furious alarm. Ash shook her head, positive in another moment she would understand what he was saying, and, just as positive, she wouldn't like it. Shrieking, Fang lunged at her. She leaned back and ducked down, trying to avoid him. He landed on her head and yanked off the ebony circlet. A flash of violet light burst from the circlet. Fang hit the floor and slammed the circlet down. Another flash, brilliant enough to make her wince and press her hands to her eyes. Bitter smell like dried blood clashed with the aromas of butter and cinnamon and bread and cherries. Cherries, Ash murmured. Panicking, she fumbled to get to her feet and away from that chair. Fury made her stumble as she staggered back, holding her arms out to block that table if it tried to follow her. There was no telling what would move here in the castle. Sneaky, she growled, and reached back blindly with one hand, trying to find the door back into the library. The castle had caught her attention with the jewelry, perhaps opening up her defenses and weakening her resolve, and somehow had snuck those dried cherries into her satchel without her noticing. She had eaten them and weakened herself even more, so she put the new crown on, giving the castle more power over her. What would have happened if she had eaten that bread? Thank you, Fang, she said, and back through the door into the library. Please, friends, close the door. The tidal wave of books swept up and pushed the doors closed. Fang barely squeezed through in time. Ash went back to her study table. She picked up her books and other supplies and moved to another table. Better that than risk being weakened and influenced again by being near, let alone touching, that jewelry and the gloves to move them. She checked her satchel for more food she hadn't packed. The aroma of almonds gushed out when she lifted the flap, and she found 4 delicate strawberries glistening with a sweet coating. Marzipan. Lady Charlotte had given her a piece of marzipan last year for her birthday. Ash thought she had never tasted anything so incredible and luxurious. You overreach yourself, she said, dumping the sweets out on the table at the far end from where she had now settled. I didn't notice the cherries, but I would have noticed the marzipan and known something was wrong. She sighed, wishing she dared to take even a tiny bite. What would happen if she took the marzipan with her when she left at the end of the day? No, better not take the risk and find out the hard way. Fang stayed with her, napping on a seat tucked under the table. From time to time, he hopped away, loudly, in pursuit of something. Ash refused to take her gaze off the text for one moment. This book was all stories of people who had been guided or enslaved by spirit rings, and detailed how the various enchantments that attached to them had been a blessing or a curse, and how they had been shattered. Many stories reinforced the general teaching that spirit rings were rare. So, how had Justiciar Camwell come to be in possession of so many that he could use them to keep watch on multiple people at the same time and give spirit rings to his servants? Apparently, he kept watch over them all with a master ring. Was the master ring more than a spirit ring? Did it serve him willingly, enslaving the other spirit rings? Ash lost what little pity and concern she had for Camwell in the face of Lathia's vengeance. Wherever he had fled, she hoped he was miserable and quaking in fear, just as long as in the end Lathia didn't gain control over not just the ring she wore, but the master ring. She remembered what Hazel had asked the ring the night she fled Castle Fairhold with Fang. Would he like to come to a place where he would be surrounded by other magical items like himself, able to rest from his duties and socialize and share stories? And now, be safe from arrogant, self-righteous creatures like Camwell and Lathia. "Would you like that someday?" she whispered, raising her gaze from the book to look at the ring lying on the table next to her inkwell. "Retire here, free to do what you wish, talk with all the books, rest with the other magical things hidden and stored here?" Ash couldn't decide if she hoped the ring could hear her, even if he couldn't speak. Wouldn't he have an awful lot to say to her, answering all the questions she had asked him, correcting all her misconceptions, when he could finally speak again? Again, the library muted her sense of time passing. Ash measured it by how many stories she read, how many times she drank from the water flask, and when she ran out of the food she had brought. She smiled wryly when the castle didn't try to slip anything else into her satchel. So, it learned from its mistakes. She would also learn from her mistakes and be even more watchful. Or perhaps she would be wiser, simply never to return. An ache settled into her chest at the thought of never coming back. Never sitting here in the library, surrounded by more books than she could read in 3 lifetimes. The thought of all those damaged books waiting for mending added to that ache. Munching on the last bite of trail bread, Ash got up to step out of the library and get a sense of the time of day. Books slid across the floor and added themselves to the barricade in front of the doors. "Thank you for protecting me," she said, and managed to smile. She clasped her hands so they wouldn't shake. Now was not the time to be trapped here. When would the books change from protecting her to holding her prisoner? "I just want to step outside and check the time, see how late in the day it is. I promised Izalova I would report to her on what I had found. You don't want me to break my promise, do you?" That seemed to do the trick. The wave of books shifted aside. Numerous books small enough to hide in her fist made chains and wrapped around the doorknobs to pull the doors open. Ash shivered at the cleverness of the books and their ability to work together. Cecil had indeed been right to warn her about magic books. Best to keep them as her friends and never lose their goodwill. She took deep breaths of air that didn't smell of paper, leather, glue, and ink, and crossed the entryway toward the main doors. They hung open. Whether they had just opened now or they had remained open since she entered the castle this morning, Ash couldn't be sure. She took it as a good sign that they weren't closed, intending to keep her prisoner. Just to be safe, she stopped a good 5 paces away from the threshold and raised her arms to the ceiling and stretched and arched her back, loosening muscles that had tightened from being bent over books all day. She grinned at this proof that her dream of spending entire days in study wasn't as glorious as she had imagined. Her sense of time returned. Even without shadows slanting from west to east, she knew now this was late afternoon. She had been busy in her studies for nearly 8 hours. She needed to go back to her camp and the portal. Ash couldn't afford to miscalculate. Bracing herself, she turned to look at the place where the table had been set and Fang had smashed the ebony crown. Not a scratch in the paving stones, not a piece of furniture, not a whiff of aroma from the fresh bread. She regretted that fresh bread more than anything else. Ash went back into the library and closed the book, stoppered her inkwell, and made a mental note that she needed to replenish her supply at the next station house. She put her pen back into its protective sleeve, blew on the last page in her journal where she had written, and touched the final period with her fingertip, testing if it had dried. It had. She closed the journal and slid it into her satchel. Behind her, books slid and rustled and thumped, reforming the barricade across the doors. She sternly told herself not to be afraid. Morris had taught her, after all, that emotions affected her scent. Who knew if the books could smell that trepidation chilling her now? "Thank you, but I need to go upstairs and report to Izalova," she called. "Please, let me out?" Ash walked down the aisle to the doors, silently pleading with the books to listen. She didn't know what she would do if they got stubborn. When would they team up with the clothes and furniture to trap her here? Books moved aside, lowering the barricade. Slowly. There was more noise than the last time they had parted to allow her out. Did they suspect something? The small books formed a chain again and darted up like a snake striking, to loop around the strap of her satchel, nearly yanking it off her shoulder. Ash pulled, her heart skipping a few beats at how strong that chain was. The books suspected she was leaving the castle, not just going to Izalova. Just like that village in Nordwell had nearly kept Fang prisoner with them to ensure that she didn't run away, the books wanted to keep her satchel. "I need my journal to remember what I wrote down, what I learned," she said, after several minutes of tangled thoughts. Ash hoped that wasn't too much prevarication. She wasn't lying, was she, even by implication? Did the books think she meant she needed the journal to report to Izalova? What was she doing, arguing with books and worrying about whether they trusted her or thought she lied to them? She needed to get out of the enchanted castle and out of the enchanted forest before she lost her mind. "Please, let me go upstairs?" She waited, trying to smile, afraid to look at some shiny surface and see how false her expression might be. The little books finally let go. Fang chirped and bounded up the stairs ahead of her. Ash fought not to run, leaping 2 or even 3 steps at a time. She couldn't show any fear, couldn't give the slightest hint she needed to flee this place. A rustling, rumbling sort of sound caught her attention as she reached the landing between the 2nd and 3rd floors. Ash looked down and saw the tidal wave of books reaching out of the library, across the entryway, pushing the big double doors of the castle closed. That answered that question. She kept her steps slow, pretending she had no worries, no suspicions, as she crossed the gallery to the doors of the mirror room. Fang waited in the open doorway, ears sticking straight up, swiveling, listening. Ash knew better than to look behind herself, though she imagined every sound was books climbing the stairs to chase her, or perhaps suits of armor coming with more crowns to replace the one Fang had smashed. "I am losing my mind," she announced, and startled herself because she hadn't meant to say that aloud. "In what way, dear?" Izalova's voice had a rich tone, as if she found some amusement but was polite enough not to laugh. "This place terrifies me, but I want to stay. Am I going mad? I want to stay and organize the library and mend all the damaged books. I have a vision of a suite of rooms, and I know it's mine, and I want to stay there. I don't want to wear any crowns, but this one feels so right." She yanked the braided silver circlet off her head and strung it on her arm. "What is wrong with me?" "Perhaps the better question is to ask what has been wrong that is being mended." "That doesn't help me at all," Ash said. "No, questions often seem to confuse for quite a while before they start making sense and you start finding the right answers. I have to leave. Will you help me?" Ash gestured behind herself. "The books are barricading the doors out of the castle, but I need to get back to the portal before it changes again, and I've lost my chance to go home." Izalova was silent so long, Ash feared the mirror was calling the books, the armor, all the furniture in the castle to come capture her. "This could be your home, dear," the mirror finally said, her voice soft and soothing and sympathetic. "Not yet," Ash caught her breath. Why had she said that? Why did it make sense, make something seem to ring inside her chest, like when the right piece in a puzzle box slid into place and it unlocked? Not yet, she said again. Yes, she would like to come back. But later, much later. I have things I have to do, promises to friends. I want to find out who I am. I want to, I don't know, do something to avenge my parents and all the other magicians and enchanters who fought that wave that... I just need to leave now. I promised the books I would mend some every time I came back, so I guess I do need to come back, don't I? Oh, indeed, even if you didn't intend to make that promise. The mirror sighed. Very well, you are right. Promises are vital, and broken promises can taint your magic and your destiny. The doors to the balcony swung open. There are stairs down to the garden. You can see the gates out of the garden to the right. Go straight through. Don't let any of the statues stop you, no matter how pitiful they sound. Statues? Ash squeaked, as she hurried around the cluster of benches and chairs surrounding the magic mirror. Fang chirped and bounced ahead of her. Yes, all those statues that idiot prince kissed and halfway woke. Some are friendly. The intelligent ones, who have learned their lesson and repented of their foolishness. The others are even more selfish and featherheaded than before they were enchanted. And then there are some truly nasty ones. They'll never learn their lesson, even if they're broken into 1,000 pieces and spend the next several centuries as nothing but gravel. Get out as quickly as you can. Oh, dear, here they come. Go! Ash fled out the doors. Fang avoided the steps and bounced over the balcony railing into the garden. She darted down the stairs and smothered a groan when she had to detour around a fountain and couldn't see the gates. Isolova had said the gates were to the right, hadn't she? Ash imagined she heard the scraping and clattering of suits of armor bursting into the mirror room. There! The gates swung open as Fang approached, taking shallow, short leaps, looking back at her with every other bounce. Movements at the edges of her vision tried to snag her attention. Ash hunched her shoulders and ran, refusing to see the statue arms waving at her, the pleading expressions on stone faces. Half the garden seemed to be gray figures of people and animals, haphazardly littering the open spaces between fountains and decorative paths and little gazebos and bridges over tiny silver streams. Just how large were these gardens? How did the castle drag the gardens along with it? Magic, Ash decided in those frantic moments as she fled, dodging and ducking, made absolutely no sense sometimes. The gates were closing. Her lungs and thighs burned and strained as she put on desperate speed and darted between them. One side brushed her arm and she twisted, stunned by the zing through her sleeve and flesh. Ash stumbled, off balance for a moment, and looked back. The gate swung closed, clanging softly. We hope you enjoyed today's chapter. For more information on all the books and series featured in this podcast, or to purchase the ebook or audiobook for future reading and listening pleasure, please visit yeolddragonbooks.com. You can also find more information about our books and purchase ebooks on our Patreon page, Ye Old Dragons Library. Please consider supporting the podcast to gain access to free stories or discounts, or a chance to purchase a new book in advance of release. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ye Old Dragons Library.